Good morning. It is Tuesday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Bo Tiff here with you live in the Kia Studios. Camouflage is the choice of the day again.
You can't see me, today. Tiff.
So you can't,
hey, who are you talking
your
about?
Your haters can't see you.
Who are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, Bo.
But you can see my head. My head's not camouflage. I mean, I can put my hood up if you want, but then you whine about that, so... I just figured
not
out.
Not me. I don't.
Yeah, you like it when I don't talk.
Bo, if you put your hood up, you would go full
John Cena. I'm just glad you admitted
Cena.
That you don't talk when your hood's up. So there we go. We got confirmation.
No, it's not necessary.
Once again,
you're putting words in people's mouths.
What are you talking about? You said Tiff likes when you don't talk. That's what we were talking about with your hood up.
Well, that's what she was hoping that it would mean. That she thinks my hood up means.
I've never said that.
Can we talk about something before we go into whatever it is we're going to go into?
Anything you want.
Good. for Freddie Freeman is making Braves fans. I had people hit me up Sunday. Feel a certain way right now. Dude is 4 of 12 in the World Series with 3 home runs and 7 RBIs.
Yeah, that'll
including
work.
A game-winning grand slam in the 10th inning on Friday night in Game 1.
So we're gonna see a sweep. What are the messages you're getting?
We're going to see a sweep in this?
I think it's very likely you could see a sweep.
Yeah.
I think...
What messages are you getting?
Oh, well, a lot of Braves fans are now changing the narrative that the Braves never should have let Freddie walk. And
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's how it played out.
Well, it's not at all how it played out. It was an agent overplayed his hand. And when he said, no, when Alex Anthopoulos said, hey, I'm going to send you over an offer. Tiff, this is my final offer. And if you say no, I'm walking away. And his agent goes, no, we're not going to accept that. And like 2 hours later, Matt Olson was a Brave. With a new deal as well. And
like, okay, cool, we got a backup plan.
Yeah. And it was one of those deals where, look, I'm only gonna play this game long enough. And I I'm a Freddie guy. I love how I don't know if you've seen Chipper Jones's tweets, but Chipper's been very active in the during the World Series.
Has he?
Yeah,
he usually throws out some pretty good stuff.
Well, he's also commented on the new, which I don't even think we've touched on, the new hitting hire that that the team has made, and Chipper loves the approach. And this is a gentleman that has, you know, he's been a part of the Rangers organization, and I think he's leaving the Rangers job, not mistaken. And so I'm sure CJ Nikowski knows a lot about him, who spent time with the Rangers before coming over to being the Braves analyst for Bally. But anyways, even Chipper was like, hey, I'm so proud of little brother. He's eating. Because, you know, they have a relationship. A
four-wheeler bond.
More than a four-wheeler bond.
I know. I was just kidding. But
I know, but I do think it's important that people forget that Chipper was the leader on that team when Freddie stepped in as a young player. And, you know, he helped grow Freddie as a player. So they do have an ice storm bond where Chipper might have saved
Freddie. Yeah, an ice storm bond. Not a four-wheeler. Yeah, there you go. The quad bond. There it is. I like that. Yeah. I like what you're saying.
So, anyways, I just know we haven't really touched much on the World Series, and that was important because former Brave is playing hero.
Yeah, he's been a dog in that game too. I know that the Ohtani injury has overshadowed the last couple of days, but yeah, man, it looks to me like our buddy Mark Zeno is going to be screaming from the rooftops that Aaron Boone's not good enough as a manager, and I don't know if Aaron Boone is or is not a good enough manager, but. They're in the World Series, so it kind of is what it is at that point. You're not going to fire a guy after a World Series trip.
Well, he sat here and said Friday that he wanted he almost would be fine. He hinted at the fact that he would be fine with them losing if it meant Aaron Boone was fired.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's all on Aaron Boone.
That's so typical.
It's such an angry way to go about life.
I know. Just enjoy the fact your team's in the World Series, man.
I'm glad I'm not that way. Oh, I'm not. Oh, let me tell you something, Tiffany. I might have my moments, but I am an enjoy the ride type of guy. Okay, I am. I hate the negative. That's why I was hammering people on Twitter with it. Were yesterday alone saying Falcons are a bad team. I don't care if they're 5-3. They're not very good. They're gonna lose. And I'm like, well, good teams win games that are close.
I'll put it like this. You don't like being negative towards your teams, but you like being negative towards anybody that has a criticism that you don't agree with.
Yeah.
With your teams.
That's right.
That's where your hatred is, your hate is fueled. Can That's where you recharge.
Can I reword it a little bit?
Sure.
I love coming at people who are wrong. How about that?
Instead of hate, it's I love. Okay.
That would be a really good way to put it if you're...
You
if that wasn't opinion-based.
You should work in PR.
I'm always
a
right.
A heck of a spin.
I'm always right.
If it was fact-based, I would completely agree with what you were talking about. But
well, do you think good...
A heck of a spin.
Do you guys think good teams win close games and bad teams lose them? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you're 5-3 and every game you've played in has been close but one or two, and you're 1-1 in those other games, so throw those out. You're 4-2 in close games. I thought that was a sign of a good team.
Well,
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let me kind of bring. I agree with you, and I do think the Falcons are a good team. But let me show you the other side of the coin here. I think there have been fraudulent 5-3 teams in the past.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the other side of the coin. If you want to go there with it,
I
don't think the Falcons are one of those. Just to be clear, again, I think the Falcons are a good football team, and I think it builds character to win close games, especially when you are on the road and they have been as good as they have on the road. I think it says something about you.
But see, I think you can be a dominant 13-4 and lose in the first round, and people might say, "Oh, see, they were a fraud." I don't think that makes them a fraud. I just think that's how it plays out in the NFL. Styles make fights, and that's part of that's well that's why for whatever reason the style that Tampa Bay plays defensively. Kirk Cousins eats on, and there are other teams that have gotten after Kirk Cousins that have you know he went hungry that day.
Imagine the conversations in those meeting rooms yesterday or today or whenever they're showing up saying, "Man, why did we stop running the ball?"
I looked this up because it was something that I got to the end of the stats yesterday. I was looking over some stuff before I did an interview in Tennessee, and I said. They ran for 102 yards, and I said, damn, I think they had like 80 in the end of the first half. Turns out they had 17 carries for 74 yards in the first half. They had 5 carries the rest of the game, yeah. 5 attempted rushes.
And it wasn't like the game got out of hand. You know, that's the crazy part. It's not like the game got out of hand at halftime or anything. It's just, it's wild, man. But you love the answers either way from both sides, honestly. It made a good game.
Anyways, Tiff, you have a good night?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess if you want to say that, I mean, I was home.
Yeah, so that's a good night.
In the evening, not too bad.
Yeah, I've been meaning to ask you.
I did have, though, a delivery that came in.
Ooh, what'd you get?
I was trying another food thing, and the delivery service, which shall not be named, left it not in the fridge where it's the marking of put it into the, refrigerate, the marking on it was not clearly visible. But they still chose this box, which you might know the brand, and they left it on the floor next to the fridge. So all my food.
Wait. They came in your apartment?
Yeah, the delivery service has access into the apartment.
Oh,
so
wow.
There's a fridge in the apartment for people who get meal delivery.
She's talking about interaction.
Oh,
building.
In the complex. Yeah.
In the building.
Ah,
yes,
I got you.
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
I was like, whoa.
That's a cool thing, so off brand for you to let a delivery service into your apartment?
No, man, you can't do that.
Although some things do allow that now. But anyway, they left it. On the floor, like across from the fridge.
Oh boy!
I had shrimp in there, some other things.
Have you guys seen the viral video of the delivery, the food delivery service? Like that the lady brings it in the front door of the apartment while a 30-year-old mom is sitting there with her toddler son. And they're
Walmart
playing on the floor.
Walmart has commercials like this, but not like that, but they do bring the food into your house.
Right. And so there's like a nursery cam in there, and the lady just walks right in. She kind of looks up. It's an older lady. She looks up and sees the mom and her toddler playing in the living room. She puts the food on the bar, takes a picture of it, and walks back out. Like, it's kind of gone viral. People are like, I don't understand that this lady just, like, she didn't even acknowledge the people sitting in the living room. She just walked in, put it down, getting her side hustle on, and walked right back out.
There's nothing that cracks me up more than when people deliver stuff to your house. I almost said a bad word. Deliver stuff to your house. And they won't even knock on the door, but they're out there like taking a picture. And I'm like, could you hit the Ring doorbell?
Most people don't want people to knock.
But I
want to
know it's there.
You want them to leave it. You're tracking it. You want them to leave it. The instructions on some of my friends will say, don't knock. But some people, force it.
Well, that I get. They say,
every
knock.
Single one of my, like, whatever, leave a note. It says, do not knock, baby asleep, whatever. Because my dog will bark and it'll go crazy and I don't need you. Here's the other thing. Here's what I find nuts. And there's Amazon driver, shout out to y'all, because I know y'all's job is hard. I cannot tell you how often I'll be outside working in my garage, right? Or outside working in my driveway, whatever it is, cleaning my car, whatever it may be. All right. And the Amazon driver walks up and I'll be like reaching out to get the package. And this has happened probably 10 times over the last few months. Amazon driver will be like, hang on for a second. We'll set it on the ground, take a photo, pick it back up off the ground and hand it to me. Which, I mean, I get it. That's what I'm saying. Shout out to them. I love the fact that I have to take a photo, because if one of my packages don't make it, I'd love to see that photo. But at the same time, it does feel a little ridiculous that we were placing it on the ground to take a photo just to pick it back up and hand it to me. I get it. It's just one of those funny little caveats of the old delivery service is what
they
I'm saying.
They can't take a picture with you?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, hey, do you want your New Balances in this one?
I need a picture and they'll just snap it. I'm not in the photo, but like my hands or something is in the photo.
I mean, it's we are living in a different, this world is nothing like
crazy,
it was.
Crazy, right? Crazy.
I mean, I couldn't tell you if you told me that there was going to be a third delivery, a website like Amazon, I'd be like, what? Yeah,
who was it? Andy Bunker the day ordered the first thing he's ever ordered off of Amazon?
I just can't believe that.
I don't either,
I'm sorry.
Man. That's unbelievable.
I'm not saying that Andy is being misleading, but that is just so hard to fathom. It is just hard to fathom.
When we return, we will discuss the topic you lovely, so lovely tease, Bo, and that is, are the Falcons, the way that they are winning games, is it sustainable? Hint, hint, we're talking about the defense. We'll discuss next when we come back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We are back here on the Morning Shift. Before we get to Falcons, you guys catch Monday Night Football last night and see your favorite, Mr. Unlimited?
Yeah.
I got to give him, it's
like
got to give him credit. Well, you understand, and no hate, because I know every time you talk about a player, that what they do or don't do, it comes into hater, or you either love another guy or hate that guy. But
that's just you.
They are, trust me, I hear about it. They are significantly better on offense with, and I know that they struggled at times last night, but with Russell Wilson, as far as the passing game goes, you know, you see Darnell Washington getting involved last night. They just seem like they are better in the passing portion. And Najee, you know, the running game is going, Mike.
Him hurdling people.
Dude, Najee looks as spry as we've seen, to me, in my opinion, as I've seen him look in a long time. He kind of lumbered last year a little bit. And I know that he was dinged up at times, but he kind of lumbered a little bit, looked a little heavy-footed. Like, he looks like his acceleration is as good as I've seen him maybe since his last year at Bama. Like, he can get up to speed very quickly right now.
You know, we remember Derrick Henry the last, how would you say, like 6 or 7 seasons. But remember Derrick Henry before, and I'm going to give Arthur Smith a little bit of love. I'm not going to go Mark Zeno love on Arthur, but remember when Derrick Henry was there and he was splitting carries in the backfield in Tennessee, and then Arthur Smith is elevated to the OC,
yeah.
And all of a sudden he goes, no, what we're going to do is you're the man, because we all know that, and Derrick Henry, he became Derrick Henry of the NFL that we know, right? Well, that seems to be a little bit of what Arthur is doing with Najee Harris, and I'm not saying he's Derrick Henry, but what I'm saying is we're seeing the Najee Harris we saw at Alabama. Because I remember watching Najee Harris play in the SEC Championship game, and Arch and I were talking about, man, how would that look under an Arthur Smith offense?
Yeah.
Now we're seeing it.
I agree. Well, and to your point, and I agree with you, but also Jaylen Warren last night had a couple of moments where he's electric, and you and I have both been a fan of Jaylen Warren since the beginning of last year. Since finally healthy. Did we play him in the preseason last year? I think, played him in the preseason last year. And I was like, dude, that Jaylen Warren kid is unreal.
We tried to get him.
Yeah, we did. Golly, man, got scooped in fantasy. That's all right, though. He's a dog. I love watching that guy play. But, yeah, to your point, Najee Harris, he's pretty good right now.
And then the interaction with, I don't know if you guys saw it on social, but there was a clip, and they probably aired it during the broadcast as well, but of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields talking, having a more in-depth conversation, it looked like, on the sideline. Really, it was just looked like a lot of Justin Fields kind of listening, but it seems like it's a pretty good setup, a good plan for someone like a Justin Fields to learn from a guy, from a veteran.
Mr. Unlimited.
They were having a bromant.
Wow.
No.
Dad joke. I will say
I will say this
is that I think the best version of Justin Fields that what he could be lies somewhere around the Seattle, early Seattle version of Russ, where he could move out of the pocket, make the, you know, he would find like the Tyler Lockett or whatever on the run. That and a little bit of kind of what Lamar can do as times we're getting out of the pocket. Like I think when if Justin could be that type of quarterback in the pocket that Russell Wilson has been at times, man, he would be undefendable.
Mr. Unlimited.
And I think it just takes a little bit of growth.
Undefendable.
So.
Is that a word? Undefendable?
Indefensible?
I yeah, I don't know. It doesn't sound right, but I'm with you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Well, it's not unguardable because you don't guard quarterbacks necessarily.
Let's stick with the defending, undefendable, whatever you want to call it, kind of topic, because that will bridge me to the Falcons and what we want to get to, which is, okay, they're creating turnovers, right? The defense has been opportunistic. Yet they still don't have this pass rush that everyone's been talking about. So is this the way that they're winning, powered by the offense that has been really explosive and getting the take? I mean, the turnover battle is, that's the battle you have to win anyway. But the question is, can they still keep winning games this way? Is it sustainable?
I think, first off, turnover battle is kind of taking the place of sacks to me right now for this team because they had three, I believe, on Sunday, and I think they had 14 points off of those. So they kind of, hey, you know what, instead of getting you off the field by sacking you and putting you behind the line of scrimmage and getting off that way, we're just going to take the ball away. That's what, essentially what happened in that play, that A.J. Terrell interception. I know that the fumble or whatever, which ruined it all, but it's a good question. I don't know.
Because I say all that to say, not really sure, to be honest with you.
What I think is that they could still win without getting the sacks if they could stop the run game efficiently. But then again, I think if they stop the run game more, it might lead to more sacks.
Well, yeah. There's no doubt about it. Let me give you two stats that kind of correlate with that, all right? Because we don't find ourselves very often because we're not great at stopping the run. We don't find ourselves in obvious passing downs, right? So two of the stats that kind of jump out to you, when you look at it, the Falcons are right now dead last in completion percentage against our defense, right? And we've mentioned a number of times, corners play off, safeties play deep, going to give you everything underneath. Baker Mayfield, it seemed like, well, what did we say? He started 14 of 15 or whatever. I mean, it was ridiculous. The ball didn't hit the ground for like the first quarter and a half for Baker Mayfield, right? So 72.5% completion percentage against our defense right now, dead last in the league. On the flip side, though, 6.6 yards per attempt on those passes, right? That's actually sixth in the NFL. So they're keeping everything in front of them, and our corners are tackling extremely well and extremely physically, right? And a lot of that lends itself, like you kind of pointed out, to the fact that the ball comes out now. All right, doesn't allow, like we get in these third and four, third and five situations, right? And we really aren't able to tee off.
Unless you win immediately.
Right.
Unless
you are dipping the shoulder right now and in the backfield, and even then you might not get home because we've had some immediate one-on-one wins, but we're not able to get home because the ball is coming out now. So we're keeping everything in front of us. And here's the thing. It's by design. A lot of the time, we're keeping everything in front of us. We're limiting explosives. We've been one of the best defenses in the league at limiting explosives because we're good tacklers. But at the same time, if you can find any way possible to be better on first down against the run, this defense could be elite in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that would lend itself to the pass rush because you'd get more long yardage situations that you don't seem to be getting right now.
And that's what I just feel like I'm a broken record on this. That's why when people say our defensive line sucks because they can't get home in the pass rush and look at how bad they are in the run game. I don't blame the defensive line for a lot of the run game issues. I think there are moments where, you're not penetrating or you're not setting the edge or you're not staying in your lane. But I feel like a lot of time that because we're either at depth or our linebackers aren't shedding and stacking, which, you know, is basically staying in their lanes,
right?
And they're running around blocks. And when you and Arch and I talked about this, when you run around blocks, you leave holes.
Yeah.
Because you're running around trying to make a play, and in reality, if you would just stay in your lane where you're supposed to be, it now bottlenecks stuff, right? Because the running back can't step into that hole. He has to maybe fill. And by that time, someone does shed a block or get off and is able to make a play for maybe a 2 yard gain instead of, I don't know, 8.5.
So did you technically then kind of answer the question then? You said you didn't know before.
It's the pass rush I can deal with. Okay. I think it'll come if you have more situations where it's 3rd and 7 and not 3rd and 2. But then again, what's going to happen is what happens in all the NFL. If you start stopping the run, now they're going to start throwing on early downs. And if you're still playing off, they're going to get that 6 yards another way.
Yeah. I just think it to answer your question, Tiff, I think it's just week to week. Like, what are the issues that you're presented with? And I think that's what's so frustrating about what Seattle was able to do a couple of weeks ago. And you play flat and you know that Seattle's going to come out and throw the ball. All right. Instead, they start off running on the first drive and you're like, oh crap, we got to adjust to that. And then all of a sudden the explosives opened up and that one to DK Metcalf before halftime was a killer. I mean, it just simply was. And so I think it's matchup based. It's week to week. It's what do they do well? Let's take that away from them. The only problem is that you get in these situations like you did last week. And again, I don't understand. I haven't watched enough of it to know why Tampa got away from the run. But matchup based, you knew Tampa was going to come out and run it. And yet they did, and they ran it down your throat. So that's concerning for me.
So now if it's matchup based, you have to wonder what's going to take place when they face the Cowboys this week, because you don't know what you're going to get with that team based on how inconsistent they have been this season. But that's a topic that we're definitely going to get to cover. But when we come back, college football headlines, are we going to feel sorry for Bo this weekend? Is anybody? No,
I definitely won't. Georgia, no. Sympathy
Florida?
For me.
No. No. I think we're good.
No.
I don't know if I've ever felt sorry for Bo. Brings it on himself.
What?
I want to see your face this week, and I want you to record yourself watching the Georgia-Florida game.
Get a Twitch. Get on Dial-On's Twitch.
We beat Kentucky, so it's all
good. You can stream with me, Bo.
Live stream.
You come over. We can stream together.
You'll have to look really hard to find yourself in his 32-inch TV.
I can't live in a world where I can only watch one game at a time.
No, he has a bigger TV now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Thank you.
I actually have a story about that television.
No!
Oh, I hope Denzel's not listening. Okay, yeah. College football headlines and some sad TV news when we come back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Before we get to college football, Dylan,
I have a very short story.
A loyal listener.
A very short story.
A friend of mine. Yeah. Was like, hey, I heard Dylan needs a TV. I've got an extra one. We talked about it on the show. Friend of the show, Denzel, you went and picked up this TV, and now you just told us before going to break.
He give you a busted TV, Dylan.
Something happened.
That TV busted.
Yeah, it actually was. It actually was a little busted. Long story short, got the TV, set it up, plugged it in, and, well, he already told me that he had to find the remote, which was fine. So how we tested it out was I hooked up my laptop, fired up the Hulu Plus Live TV, plugged the HDMI cord into the TV so it would obviously screen share, and for like a half a second, the full screen showed. But then right after that, the top half of the screen went black.
Was he still there?
No, I was at home.
He started smoking.
I had already picked up the TV, and I just picked up the TV myself.
No.
And then,
man.
And I tried to, like, do some things to maybe rework it.
So we're back down to solo vision.
So, yeah, we're back to swapping, moving TV from room to room.
TV to the bedroom.
No, we
got to
get this man a TV.
But it was totally fine. I didn't obviously.
This man took a trip to Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
He can afford a TV, all right? But the second thing is Denzel used you as his personal trash man. He's like, hey, I got this TV you can take.
I don't want to pay that dump fee.
Don't worry about it. It's free, man.
He didn't want to leave it out by the curb. So
Denzel,
I
do not see it that way. Bo Morgan's beliefs are not my beliefs.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm gonna tell you something.
Hot dog and wine night.
I like Denzel. He's a friend. He is a friend of the show. I feel like he's one of my friends, and I don't even know him. Yeah. But I'm gonna tell you something. When a guy says, "Let me give you this to you," it's extra. I don't need it, and it's busted. And he's like, "Hey man, no take backs.
Got to have a conversation."
He used you as a trash service.
Yeah, got to have a conversation.
So I'm gonna bring you in a green vest, and you can wear it around. All right,
it doesn't add up if he went to a storage unit and brought it out. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like at home.
Yeah,
it's a Lemony Snicket, man.
I bet
it's
he don't have that storage unit no more. Events. He's probably like, "Yeah, clean that storage unit out. Got to get rid of that TV."
Denzel, I just want to say this: if you are listening, I do appreciate it, and unfortunately the TV didn't work, but it's okay. It's all good. I appreciate the kind gesture. Right.
Dylan Wall says $25 because that's what the dump charges for you to show up.
Let's get to college football.
What was number four?
Number three, Penn State.
Hit the wrong hotkey.
Wow.
All right. Good morning. So if you missed it, Lane Kiffin, you know, he's known to make some comments to the media about whatever it is that's weighing on his mind. He's always been pretty open about that. And so he had some thoughts about his upcoming matchup this coming weekend. And yes, did you want to...
Well, I think the comment actually is about the following week. He'll be facing off with Georgia. So it's actually Georgia, Ole Miss week next weekend, and Bama, LSU, who are on byes this week. So
this leads me to his comment on the kickoff time then, which is set for 3:30. So that would be Georgia, Ole Miss at 3:30. And he has an issue with that because of what the night game is. Let's take a listen.
And they just announced the November 9th kickoffs, 2:30 for y'all against Georgia. So you got two morning, two afternoon kicks left. From your perspective or coaching perspective, is there any advantage at all to playing day to tonight kickoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's proven over time in NFL and college. You know, playing at night in electric atmospheres is a home field advantage, and tough when you got to do that as a opposing team. So that's been proven for a long time, and so who went at night? LSU gets to play at night again, I guess. Shocker. So that's two for two for them. It is an advantage. I feel bad for our fans, you know, not have one night conference game is really unfortunate for them. And so whatever. It's just really disappointing, but it is what it is.
I wonder – like Ole Miss never plays at night, it feels like, especially with a team like Georgia coming to town, you would have thought. But, you know, LSU, Bama is just one of those games that I don't know. I honestly, I'm a Bama guy, and I would have rather seen Georgia, Ole Miss at night.
Maybe Lane shouldn't have lost two games.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I know LSU's lost two now at this point, but
I was going to say Bama has two. So.
Guess what? They're brands. You're not.
I don't know what the schedule was. I can't remember the complete schedule last year, but when I had Ole Miss, Alabama, it was an afternoon game.
Yeah, it was 3:30. So. Yeah,
it was 3:30.
It was a 3:30. But that's usually the prime spot anyway when it was on CBS. So
it's a prime spot for TV ratings, and that's why it ends up being the way it is. But he has been talking about this for a while. He wants night games for Ole Miss, and they never get night games. In LSU, it's nighttime in Death Valley. Like, they get them a lot.
Yeah, I mean, this is the worst version of Lane for me. Like,
I didn't mind it at all.
I like happy, petty Lane Kiffin. I don't like sulky, sad Lane. Well, yeah, who got it? LSU. Oh, yeah, man.
Shocker.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, guess what, Lane? If you wanted a night game against Georgia, maybe you shouldn't have lost to Kentucky. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the hell to tell you. I get it, though, but
you're saying he's not in your driver's seat for the Florida job next year. That's what you're saying?
I mean, when Billy Napier...
Put you on the spot.
I'll be honest with you. Because I know you're always honest with me, and you tell me every time you speak. I have enjoyed the progress that Florida has made as a team overall, and I think that Billy Napier handled the DJ Lagway, Graham Mertz situation as well as he could. I would hate to make a change and then see the top quarterback recruit of the 24 class walk somewhere else and with NIL money because you just couldn't have a fourth year and you wanted to pay a $30 million buyout.
Good point.
All right, well, this news coming out. In an Instagram post, Michigan quarterback Jack Tuttle announced that he is retiring. This is after suffering the fifth concussion of his college career. So I don't know if anyone other than probably the people internally or the people that he's closest with probably saw this coming. But this was big news yesterday.
Yeah, this he was the backup last year for their national title team. He had I think he had elbow surgery, UCL, something like that.
He did have UCL repair.
And so it's unfortunate, but this is a guy, Jack Tell's been around. He's been around college football forever. Year number 7 for him, I want to say. So it's unfortunate. The injuries start to pile up. He's got to look after his health, and it is what it is. Michigan's still in search of a quarterback, it feels like. They've played 3 different guys this year, and so that switch continues, as Bobby Boucher would say.
Yeah, he's Utah in 18. He played for Indiana for 3 or 4 seasons, and then 2 in Michigan. Yeah, he's
long in the tooth.
He's a couple years from being that tight end at Miami.
Yeah.
Cam Rising's on his trajectory as well.
another matchup this weekend. You got Penn State and Ohio State. The Buckeyes rank 4, and Penn State has a lot of questions looming over the status of their quarterback Drew Aller, who will be a game time decision for this matchup. And so Coach Franklin said it's too early to tell at this point, but he's played enough football that I think the decision will go all the way up to game time. He did leave their previous game against Wisconsin with a lower body injury. So that was around the first half. So.
Yeah. Drew Aller's been good this year, and his backup played fine, played okay. But
say that man's name.
The offensive coordinator?
No, the backup.
Oh, Bo. His name's Bo.
That's right.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right. You know,
I was going to say, man, this offensive coordinator's done a good job at Penn State. I can't say his name. Kotelniki, I think.
Is it Pribula?
Pribula.
Pribula?
Yeah.
Bo Pribula. The man's name is Bo. It's BEA Beautiful, just like me.
BEA. Man, is that what your mama said all these years? Jeez. All right. Anyways.
He said BEA Beautiful.
Yeah. It's good. That's going to be a matchup of who's fraudulent, who's not fraudulent in the top 5. We're going to find out this weekend. But that's going to be a fun matchup for sure, and that's going to tell you a lot about what the Big Ten is moving forward and who is actually Oregon's competition coming out of that game. So we'll see, but it is what it is, man. Hopefully Drew Aller can get back in service.
Yeah, the fighting Mike Contis need him.
We are.
So we discussed here if the way the Falcons are winning games on the defensive side of the ball, is it sustainable with the takeaways that they've been putting up, but the lack of the pass rush? You said it was based on matchups. That is what Mikey P had to say.
Got good news about that, Tiff.
So good news because they face the Cowboys this weekend?
Maybe.
All right,
maybe.
We'll discuss when we come back here on the Morning Shift. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We'll be right back.